But first of all, as we have God's word open before us, let's ask him for a blessing on his word in prayer. Please pray with me. Father, we read in the book of Proverbs that the fear of you is the beginning of knowledge, and that fools despise wisdom and instruction. Help us not to be fools this morning, Heavenly Father. Help us to seek knowledge in you. Help us to fear you, to honour you. Open our hearts to your word now. Speak, Lord, for your people are listening to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Proverbs 3, starting at verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favour and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honour the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, or be weary of his reproof. For the Lord reproves whom he loves, as a father the son in whom he delights. So far, God's word. Are we there yet? What about now? Are we there yet? Parents, you may have heard that question asked many, many times on a journey. Children, you may have asked that question of your parents a number of times. As you go away on holiday, as you go away for a long trip, are we there yet? How much longer? Well, one of the things that has helped us as parents over the years is a remarkable invention called the GPS. And on the GPS, you can program it and you can add a little window on there that has something called time to distance. And so you plug in your destination and it tells you how much longer it is till you get there. So when you've got a 10-hour journey and the kids are asking the question, are we there yet? You can say, no, look at the clock, look at the GPS. It's 9 hours and 56 minutes to go. We're not there yet. What about now? No, it's 8 hours and 30 minutes to go. But it's not just young ones who ask that question. We've probably all asked that question. And as we look back in 2021, I'm sure many of us at some stage have asked that question. Are we there yet? In the midst of changes, in the midst of uncertainties, in the health challenges that we've faced, and the struggles that we've had in relationships as we continue to deal with COVID, as we hang out for yet another government announcement. As we gather together this morning, and church is not the same, people are missing. Not everyone can be here that wants to be here this morning. And sometimes life can feel like it's in a holding pattern. We ask the question, are we there yet? Now, as 2022 has begun and we're only 2 days in, hopefully not too many of you are asking, are we there yet? Is 2022 almost finished? But we can do that, can't we? We can put our eyes on a certain event, we can focus on a certain event and say, well, once we get to this point, everything will be okay. Once I get that particular job, once we get to that particular holiday, once I get to my birthday, But the reality is, no matter how many milestones we place, no matter how many milestones we meet, the old challenges are still there. So this morning, as we begin 2022, it is good for us to consider where we are going. It is good to us to consider in 2022, where do we seek direction? The book of Proverbs is a book of wisdom. And as we read, as we began this morning, as we read from chapter 3, we looked and saw the promise of peace. As we follow wisdom, as we keep God's commandments, verse 2, King Solomon says, peace they will add to you. That idea of peace is a strong one. It's a word in the Hebrew known as shalom. Has anyone here heard of shalom as a word, as a concept? It's not just quiet. It's not a four-hour journey with not being asked the question, are we there yet? Now, the word shalom is an all-encompassing, a whole-body kind of idea. It's the idea of being safe and sound, of being content in life, of having a life not characterized by worry and anxiety. A life full of straight paths. Now, as we look at our passage in this very famous text this morning, it's very easy to jump to a conclusion. It's very easy to say, if we just trust in the Lord, everything will be okay. That's what our passage kind of says, isn't it? Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and he will make straight your paths. That doesn't necessarily promise us, as we shall see, that life will be easy. If you walk up to the top of Mount Thomas and you take the summit track, it's pretty much a very straight path. But it's not an easy one. It's a tough one. It's a struggle. It's a climb. So this morning we're going to look at what makes our paths straight. What it means to have straight paths. Our theme this morning is that the Lord makes our paths straight as we trust in him. The Lord makes our paths straight as we trust in him. And our first point this morning is that we are called to wholehearted trust. Now, this word wholehearted trust is a significant one. It means fully placing your trust in something or someone. It means throwing yourself upon someone. It means diving fully into the ocean rather than just dipping your toes at the foreshore. This word in the Arabic language has the idea of throwing yourself on your face on the ground. Totally throwing yourself at the mercy, at the care of someone. Or as one author said, belly flopping totally onto God's grace and trusting in him. In one way, and most importantly for every single one of us here, wholehearted trust is completely placing ourselves at the feet of Jesus Christ, of placing himself at his mercy, of recognizing him as our Savior. But there are also, the author also unpacks what this looks like practically. And he speaks about what wholehearted trust in the Lord looks like in two ways. He does so, first of all, in the negative. What does trusting in the Lord with all of our heart look like? Well, it begins with the negative. Lean not on your own understanding. Lean not on your own understanding. Now, some of us struggle to ask for directions. Some of us want to go our own way. Some of us aren't quite humble enough, or don't want to humble ourselves, to get directions from someone else. And if you think about it, a GPS is actually in some ways an enabler, because you don't have to ask directions from someone else. You can follow the GPS, and when you go your own way, the GPS just points you back in the right direction. But it's not just directions on a journey, brothers and sisters. It's life itself. Don't we want to be in control of our own lives? Don't we sometimes think that we know it all? That we're too prideful to lean on someone else for help? To ask for help? To share the struggles that we face? What are some ways that we lean on our own understanding? Well, we lean on our own standing when we refuse to ask others for help. We lean on our own understanding when we're not willing to listen to advice, especially biblical advice, when a brother and sister comes to us with biblical advice. We lean on our own understanding when we're set in our own ways, when we refuse to consider, when we refuse to even listen to another point of view. We lean on our own understanding when we continue in sin, knowing that it's sin, knowing that it's wrong, and we don't deal with it. As I was doing a reading for this morning, I came across three questions that I thought were very helpful in considering asking ourselves the question this morning. Do we lean on our own understanding, or on what ways are we leaning on our understanding? Question number one is this. Do you let the Bible overrule your own thinking? Do you let the Bible overrule your own thinking? It's really easy to agree with the Bible, to follow the Bible, when you agree with what's being said. But what if you don't agree? What if we've come across a text that challenges your view, that disagrees with you? Do you submit yourself then to God's word? I spoke to someone a while ago and I thought their answer in considering this question was incredibly honest. I know what the Bible says. I understand the Bible's teaching in this area, but I don't like it. I struggle with it. It's a healthy way to look at God's word. That's an honest way to look at God's word. But when it comes to your idea, your will, do you submit that still to the Bible's thinking? That's question number one, and leaning on your own understanding. The second is this. Do you believe that someone, somewhere, at some time in this earth, who does not believe in Jesus Christ, will go to heaven? I'll say that again. Do you believe that somewhere, at some time, someone on this earth that doesn't believe in Jesus Christ will go to heaven? The other way of putting that is, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven? Without Jesus Christ, no one can come to him. If you believe that people can come to Jesus Christ another way, you are leaning on your own understanding, because the Bible says that Christ is the only way. If you think there are other ways for people to come to God other than Jesus Christ, it's also possible that you too are not committed to serving him wholly. Do you let the Bible overrule your own thinking? Do you believe that somewhere someone who does not believe Jesus Christ will go to heaven? And then thirdly, and the most challenging, I think, when was the last time you took a risk to obey Christ? When was the last time you took a risk to obey Christ? When was the last time you got outside your own comfort zone? You took a stand that was going to make you uncomfortable, that would cause you problems. Maybe put your job at risk because you chose to obey God rather than your own understanding. A hard decision. Making a stand. Or are you simply living life comfortably? No risks for Christ, no challenges. Lean not on your own understanding, our passage says. But then it also speaks about the positive. And point one, point two, if I put it that way. No 3 points this morning, but 2 points in point one. See what I did there? In verse 6, we read this. In all your ways, acknowledge him. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Now, we need to be careful with absolutes. I don't know about you, but I've found in life when I say never, I'm never going to do something, often I'll find myself doing that very thing that I said I wasn't going to do. I once said, and I've never been allowed to forget that I would never marry a Dutch girl. Vanderhorst is very Dutch. And yes, I do not regret that decision at all in marrying a wonderful Dutch girl. We teach our children, don't we, that they shouldn't say never, that they shouldn't say always, they shouldn't say every time. But some absolutes are good. And our passage here gives us a good absolute. In all your ways, acknowledge him. It's pretty clear, isn't it? Not in some ways, acknowledge him. In most of your ways, acknowledge him. But in every single one of your ways, acknowledge him. What does this word acknowledge mean? Again, we teach our children to acknowledge people, don't we? It's good manners. Say hello, say good morning, shake the nice person's hand. Is that all it means here? In all your ways, acknowledge that God exists, that he is there. And that's not what this word means. This word acknowledge is also translated know him, and all your ways know him. And this word know in the Old Testament is a very, very strong word. In its strongest form, the word know means sexual intimacy. The intimacy between a husband and wife. The deepest possible, closest way you can be to someone. In all your ways, know God. Know God intimately. Commit everything to him. Hold nothing back. Throw yourself at him completely. In all your ways, acknowledge him means committing to him. The history on your internet browser, where you spend time on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat. What have I forgotten? Is that most of them? I think so. In all your ways, wherever you go on the internet, acknowledge him, commit it to him. Commit your bank accounts to him. Where you spend your money, what you spend your money on, how much you spend, where you spend, how much money you spend for his kingdom, how much money you spend to support the church versus how much money you spend to support your lifestyle. In all your ways, acknowledge him doesn't mean this is the Lord's money and this is mine. In all your ways, acknowledge him means it is all yours, Lord. In all your ways, acknowledge him means committing every single one of your relationships to him. Your relationship with his brothers and sisters. Your relationship as husband and wife. Committing your singleness to him. Committing your marriage to him. In all your ways, acknowledge him means committing your parenting to him, your work choices, your school life, your work time, your leisure time, your waking time, your sleeping time, everything to him. In all your ways, acknowledge him. In all your ways, know him. Knowing him in all your ways means knowing him. Seeking to know him better. In 2022, are you committed to knowing your Lord better? Men, as heads of the house, are you committed to a devotional life for your family? Are you committed to helping your wives knowing the Lord better? Are you committed to using the many wonderful ways that God gives us to get to know Him? And some of those ways are ministries that we have here in the church. Are you committed to knowing Him through ladies' fellowship? Through men's fellowship, as that Lord willing gets off the ground this year? Are you committed to helping younger brothers and sisters in Christ get to know the Lord better? Are you committed to making every means possible to get to know Him? Are you committed to coming here and worshipping Him as you are able to do? Are you committed to knowing God better, deeper, in greater ways together as God's people? There's no room for wholehearted trust. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Lean not on your own understanding. But then in our second point, we have a promise. And that's a promise that we need to unpack as we do this. It seems, and I've already pointed to that, as we read this passage here, it seems, trust the Lord and He'll make straight your paths. We could read this, God helps those who help themselves. You need to trust God even just a little bit, and that'll allow Him, that'll free God to work wonderful things in your life. You need to do your little bit, and then God can do the rest. The problem with that is that it decreases God's power. It's not a biblical idea. Simply just give it all to God and then don't need to worry about anything at all. No, God calls us here to obedience. Calls us here to trust Him, to follow Him, to obey Him. Or worse than that, and someone may have said this to you, or you may have said this to someone else. You know the reason why your life is so tough, why your paths seem so crooked? It's because you're not trusting God enough. You need to trust Him more. You need to hold on to Him more. If you trust in Him, everything will be okay. Life will go swimmingly. You'll have no problems. I've never found that helpful when people have said that to me, and the fact is, it's not true. That's not what the Bible teaches. God's care for us is not dependent on how much faith we have or don't have. So this idea all rests around how we understand what it means that God will make our paths straight. Does it mean that if we trust in Him, we will have a trouble-free life? It cannot mean that. There was one man who did what we're called to do this morning perfectly, and that man was Jesus Christ. He perfectly trusted in the Lord with his own heart. He perfectly did not lean on his own understanding. In every single way, one of his ways, he acknowledged God. He knew God. Boys and girls, do you think that Jesus had an easy life? He trusted in God completely. Did he have an easy life? No, he did not. His life ended in suffering, a suffering on this earth, but suffering and death. His life ended being rejected by God. As we look through history, saints that have trusted in Jesus Christ, in God and Jesus Christ, have not had an easy life. So how are we to understand this promise of a straight path? What does it mean? Well, what it does mean, having looked at what it doesn't mean, it means that if we trust in the Lord, we will want to follow Him. We will want to be directed by Him. It means that as we trust in Him, We are also trusting that God will give us direction, that he will guide us in life, that he will walk with us through our trials, through our struggles. He won't leave us to them on our own. He will show us the way through. Now, it can mean that as we trust in him, life is more pleasant. Let me put it another way. If you do not trust in the Lord with all your heart, if you lean on your own understanding, if you walk a path away from him, not acknowledging him, going your own way, if you lead a life that's not in line of Scripture, you can't expect God's blessing. You should expect the wheels of your life to fall off. And if you're not trusting in God and you're going swimmingly, that does not mean that you're getting away with it. That God doesn't really mind if you don't follow him. That God doesn't really mind if you just throw a little bit of church once a week into your life, and the rest of your week, you just do your own thing. It doesn't mean that God is pleased. It only means that he is patient with you. It means that he is gracious with you. But it also doesn't mean, it doesn't then translate in the reverse. If life is tough, if you're struggling, that you are sinning and that you have no faith at all in God. That's not what this passage means. What this passage means is that we can trust, and as we do trust in him, we're acknowledging. We're saying to the Lord, guide us, direct us. The promises as we lean in him, as we know him, he will show us the way to go. He will show us the path. It means trusting that the Lord knows what is best for you. As hard as that is, it is hard to swallow sometimes. As we were reminded as we closed last Sunday morning, it means trusting that God works all things together for the good of those who love him. The good things, yes, we're easy with that, aren't we? But also the bad, struggling things that we struggle with. It means acknowledging that God knows exactly what we need, that he knows that sometimes we need tough times. But that's not where it ends. It means trusting his promise that he will never leave us, that he will never forsake us, that he will walk that path with us. A straight path is a path that God directs, that acknowledges that God knows what he is doing. That doesn't mean it's an easy path. At the start of 22, we don't know. None of us here knows exactly what this year is going to be like. Some of us may find new jobs. Some of us may lose jobs. Some of us here this morning may not be with us by the end of 2022. Many of us will walk with someone through the valley of the shadow of death. But our passage this morning challenges us. How are you going to walk in 2022? Will you give in to stress? Will you try and micromanage your life? Or simply worry the year away, which is my tendency? Will you approach this year with a steely confidence? I've got this, nothing can touch me, I am in control. Only to have that control wrested away in ways that you cannot control. Will you say this year in 2022, I don't need Jesus Christ, I can do it on my own? Or maybe you're following along this morning, maybe you're here this morning, and you've been sitting and listening to God's word, you've been hearing about Jesus Christ day in, day out, time in, time out. You've been challenged to sacrifice your life to him. It's 2022 the year that you finally say, yes, Lord Jesus. It's 2022 the year that we say, we will trust you. Take it all, Father. No matter what path I walk, no matter how tough it is, I trust that you will direct my paths. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in endless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for thee. Take my voice. Let me sing always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from thee. Filled with messages from thee. Take my silver and gold. Not one part will I withhold. Take my intellect and use every power as thou shalt choose. Take my will. Make it thine. Not my will be done, Heavenly Father, but your will in 2022. Take my heart. It is your own. It shall be your royal throne. Take my love, my Lord, I pour at your feet as treasure store. Take myself and I will be ever only all for thee. Ever only all for thee. What path has God laid out for you in 2022? Let's ask him now to make that path straight. Please pray with me. Father, as we come before you this morning, if we are honest here this morning, we would confess, we do confess, that we are comfortable with trusting in you in most things. That we are happy to acknowledge you in most things. But there are some things in our lives that we want to lean on our own understanding. There are some areas of our lives that we want to hold on to, that we want to say, well, Lord, you can have the rest, and I'm being pretty generous to you, Lord, because you've got most of my life. But there's part of it that I want to hold on to. Challenge us if that is the case, Father. Help us to see that as we give you everything, as we acknowledge you in every single area of our life, you promise your guidance to us. We say with the Father who was speaking of his Son to Jesus, Lord, we believe, help us in our unbelief. Help us to cling to you more firmly, to hold on to you more deeply. You know every single one of our days and our paths in this year to come. For some of us, Lord, we are glad for the end of 2021. We are looking forward to 2022. For some of us, 2022 is going to be an incredibly tough year. Some of us here this morning are looking at the year to come and are fearful. Help us. Strengthen us. Direct our paths. Help us to depend on you. Help us to feel your closeness. And in those times where our head feels like it is dipping below the waterline, when we stumble and we fall, Lord, pick us up. Carry us. Hold our head above water, we pray. Help us to trust in you. We pray this, asking for your blessing, holding you to your promise that you will be with us in 2022. We pray this through the strength of our Saviour, and we bring before you this morning and pray that this may be the year that those near and dear to us, those who are on our hearts, that they too may finally say the words that we have been longing for, hoping for, pleading for. That we may hear them say, I do trust in Jesus Christ. I do acknowledge him as my Saviour. We plead with you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Let's stand now and sing, acknowledging where our security comes from, where we are safe as we walk through sometimes difficult paths in this year to come. Number 177. And in the song we sing, safe in the shadow of the Lord, beneath his hand and power, I trust in him, I trust in him, my fortress and my tower. Safe in the shadow of the Lord, possessed by love divine, I trust in him, and meet his love with mine. Let's stand and sing these words together. Amen.